Hello and welcome to Databook. I'm Jack Murtha.
And I'm Tom Castles. Today we have a very special guest who is well known to most of our audience. It's Dr. Rasu Shrestha. He is a well-known visionary who's currently the Executive Vice President and Chief Strategy Officer at Atrium Health in North Carolina. Rasu landed there early this year after a pretty fascinating career trajectory and even life journey, I would say, which started on the other side of the world. His story and his philosophy might just inspire you over the next 20 or so minutes.
But before we get to all of that, here's a reminder. This is an Inside Digital Health podcast. You can find us online at idigitalhealth.com. And yeah, you gotta search for us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and everywhere else you can find someone nowadays. Like us, rate us, subscribe to us, review us. We appreciate all of it.
Sincerely, we do. Here at Databook, regular listeners might be noticing a theme. Healthcare innovation, especially in the digital space, is advancing at a breakneck pace. There are a lot of headlines about unprecedented new advances and promises of breakthroughs that could ultimately lead to longer, fuller lives for all of us.
But there is a gap between ideas and implementation. So sure, you can say that an electronic health record system is going to revolutionize care. But that doesn't mean it translates to a bedside cure for a patient. There are a lot of moving parts. A thought leader who recently wrote a piece for Inside Digital Health called this gap, and I quote, the white couch phenomenon. What does that mean? Basically, there's a groundbreaking high-tech vision that is discussed on sofas, on stages, at conferences. But this vision has little real-world investment in health systems, where it really matters.
It's almost as if there are infinite complications in life that thwart the best-laid plans for all of us, isn't it?
Look, it's enough to make you philosophical. What is the reason for doing our jobs? How can we stay interested in what we do every day? How can we make the world a better place? How can we avoid burnout?
And that is why we're talking to our guest today. I couldn't blame you for calling Rasu philosophical. Speaking to him is a constant exercise in questioning the ultimate ends of our means. Here's what I mean by that. He's always questioning the why of himself, of others. It just so happens he's a doctor and thought leader in the digital health space. Here is Rasu.
I think it's important to understand that there really is a method to the madness. One shouldn't just do innovation for the sake of doing innovation. It's not about having, you know, a person leading innovation, having a team around that person. That will come. I think what's really important is to first and foremost understand the why behind the what, when, and the how.
This week on Databook, we examine the method to the madness, the why.
Rasu has a lot of accolades here in the U.S. For starters, he's lauded for driving much of the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center's innovation strategy. And that's a pretty big deal.
So he's credited with helping to kind of recenter UPMC's strategy on patients and economic sustainability. So that means working smarter, more efficiently, and really focusing on providing better treatment and better outcomes and a better life for patients. Rasu has earned a bunch of recognition for this kind of work. We can list them: Executive of the Year by Healthcare Dive, Top 20 Health IT Leaders Driving Change, and then there's Information Week's Top Healthcare Innovators, and that's just the tip of the accolade iceberg.
But Rasu's path to this recognition and all this glory began years ago and thousands of miles away, near the very roof of the world.
As a child, I've always wanted to, quote, become a doctor, right? So this was in my early childhood days. I actually grew up in Nepal, Kathmandu, Nepal, by the Himalayas. I observed early on, the elements of poverty in a country like Nepal.
And social conditions were very different there, for sure.
I observed the human elements of striving for life and livelihood. And what was really interesting, and perhaps what really drew me into a life in medicine, was how if you were able to really impact the life of one human being, it was able to not just change his or her trajectory, but also potentially impact families and communities, and more broadly, perhaps regions and beyond as well. So it was really that drive in, touching the human elements of this thing that we call life that really drew me into medicine.
That guiding spirit and that drive led Rasu out of the Himalayas and to the rest of the world. He ended up studying in India and the United Kingdom and the U.S.
As his travels took him pretty far away from his childhood home, his mind also continued to journey. And what I mean by this is he studied a lot at very advanced levels, and he studied many different things.
So went into becoming a physician, medical school, and training in radiology and all of that, but also very quickly then went into informatics. And then the next peak forward was really in business, and got trained in business, and really was trying to hone my chops, so to speak, to tackle some of the challenges around innovation and strategy and health system transformation. So lots of different sort of areas that I'd delved myself into, but that really has been my journey through healthcare.
So all of this searching came back to data and technology, which over the course of his burgeoning career became vastly more complex, but also vastly more promising.
Rasu was always a natural doctor from childhood through medical school and well into adulthood. So a natural question popped up. What about the patients? How did the Hippocratic Oath fit into the digital health revolution?
Back in the earlier days, as I was going through medical school, and as we try to look at, data points to try to bring to life the patient's story, the challenges for us really were that, we were looking at very episodic care episodes and specific data points that were, drawn to a certain time. Whereas the true patient's narrative, the true patient's story is an interweaving of various other data elements throughout the longitudinal elements of care and their journey through life. And it's not just clinical data, it's also other data elements that really weave into the decision-making matrix, or certain things that affect behavior, or certain things that may result in better outcomes or not.
He started looking at all the stories the data could bring to life. And as he went into informatics and became immersed in the challenges of interoperability, he joined some standards-making efforts like DICOM, working groups. That became a precursor to some of his more recent work as well.
These standards and some of the work that we're doing now to really push for HL7 and advancements in FHIR and other standards that are emerging all really resonate to sort of that early premise of saying, all right, how do we bring the data to life and really bring out the stories that talk about the patient's journey and how it relates to broader set of capabilities and decision points that really affect the human being.
Having your heart in the right place. That's all fine and good, but what about bridging healthcare's information gaps? What about making that a reality?
Because the digital revolution didn't start saving lives with the flick of a switch. It was never that simple, and it still isn't. The difficulties with EHRs across the industry are well documented. I probably don't need to list them here. We did it a couple episodes ago. Interoperability, though, it's not just some buzzword. It's a goal that we in health IT and in healthcare in general are still trying to achieve. In some respect, it's a bugaboo, a real problem.
Because AI and big data keep producing headlines every day that suggest that historic health and societal problems might actually have a solution in sight. For Rasu, it's a matter of acknowledging the limitations head on and to keep the conversation going from voice to voice and machine to machine.
We've come a long ways, but also at the same time, we have a lot of challenges. And I think what we need to do is to really have the right framing of how it is that we continue to evolve, and not just looking at static data elements and the silos that we've been dealing with forever in healthcare, but really connecting the dots across those silos and elevating those conversations to glean insights and to tell those narratives and those stories.
Forging those connections, achieving interoperability at scale and not just within a single hospital or even a single hospital department, is a matter of looking beyond dashboards and connected tech. Rasu says that you need to get to a higher plane within the data.
As an industry in healthcare, still grapple with the challenges of interoperability. We're very focused on the plumbing layer, and I think it's important for us to elevate ourselves to really looking at the experiential layer, well beyond the plumbing layer, and then at the same time, make sure that we're able to take much more of a standards-based approach to looking at the set of capabilities that we have at the back end, and embrace technologies whose time have come.
It's really about looking at context every time a new tool goes online. Where does each tree fit in this forest?
And should that tree even be there at all? Should we maybe perhaps cut it down?
In a way, it's a matter of thinking outside the usual outside-the-box thinking.
So would that be inside the box?
I mean, yes and no, because what's really important is the guiding purpose, that underlying why.
There's no system out there that'll tell you, hey, we don't want to innovate, we don't want to be innovative. But I think it's important for us to understand that innovation needs to be highly contextualized to that organization. It needs to be highly contextualized to a set of challenges and capabilities, as well as opportunities around that local region, that organization onto itself.
Constantly chasing new ideas without a clear strategic endpoint, it can just become a never-ending cycle. And as Rasu sees it, that is wasteful. I tend to agree with him there. That means healthcare leaders might need to kill ideas that went bust while deprioritizing other opportunities. It means health systems need to step up and marginalize technologies that just aren't bringing results.
No matter how shiny or new that these technologies are.
So lots of shiny objects out there. One of the things that I always feel is important is for us to inoculate ourselves against this shiny object syndrome, right? Because we're always looking ahead and saying, all right, oh, wow, look at that AI capability. Oh my goodness, look at that. There's this new thing that blockchain is now enabling. And so there's always a big buzzword, a platform, a solution, a service, an app. So it's important for us to inoculate ourselves against that shiny object syndrome, but stay true to who it is that we are.
So Rasu started working at Atrium Health just this year, back in February. And Atrium is, as you probably know, a big, innovative health system that's based in North Carolina. And in his new job, Rasu is really focused on everything that we're talking about here. Innovation, better care, patients. Over the past few months, Atrium has forged partnerships with companies like BabyScripts and Zelth. And they're supposed to really improve women's health and pediatric care. And it's all about incrementally advancing conditions and results in the hospitals.
Like the work that we're doing with BabyScripts, which is a capability that allows for expectant moms as they go through their journey to have a level of handholding that we're then able to help curate, that we're able to then help coordinate as well. And these sets of sort of innovations are enabled by decisions that we make upfront, right? So alongside BabyScripts, we also went live with Zelth at Atrium Health. And Zelth is a platform that allows for us to bridge the clinical divide, where the clinicians reside in their electronic medical record systems, to where the consumers and our patients reside, which is you know, on their devices and more at home than in the hospital. So with Zelt, we're able to prescribe capabilities like baby scripts directly to our patients through the EMR, right? So it's these sorts of strategies and innovations and tying it back into, you know, things that you want to accentuate or build within your organization. And in this case, it was women's health that really then defines, you know, that fine line between success and failure for a lot of these innovations and strategies.
There's a culture clash at the bottom of this period of healthcare innovation. It's a clash between startups and the healthcare system itself.
Two cultures with very different goals.
It's interesting that, you know, startups are always in a hurry, but the reality is that the rest of healthcare isn't, right? So there's this inherent culture clash that exists between this need for innovation and the need to, in many ways, maintain the status quo. And I don't mean that in a derogative way. I mean that in the way that healthcare is run has always been around, you know, going with evidence-based medicine, going with the tried and tested. So really the answer is in trying to navigate and understand that culture clash and leveraging some of these principles such that we're able to really bring together these dynamics to solve for those challenges versus be inundated with the metrics of the clash itself.
For Rasu, it all comes back to his North Star, the principles that he developed way back in Nepal, near the roof of the world.
And this North Star means that he's never done searching.
I mentioned the Himalayas, and you know, perhaps I've always been striving for the next peak, so to speak, right? And looking beyond into the next horizon. And it's been really interesting in the sense that I've had a series of, you know, what I call constant reinvention. Even in myself, in building and growing has been a constant theme throughout my journey, but all at the same time, staying true to my North Star, right, in what I described earlier as what drew me into medicine.
Part of that involves a kind of bravery, especially considering the stakes in healthcare.
Rasu says you can't be afraid to fail. And the notion of failing fast and then moving on from that failure is paramount in 2019.
From a personal perspective, you know, I've had a lot of failures myself. The one thing that I keep on trying to do is to always learn and to better myself as a leader. I'm always trying to challenge myself. I'm always trying to, you know, have sort of a bimodal approach to learning. So learning from inside out, meaning that I self-reflect, I spend time with my teammates and with other leaders, and then learning from outside in. So I spend some time, you know, outside of my comfort zone. I spend time learning about things that are happening in other industries and trying to emulate, but also connect the dots to the specifics of the things that we're doing and the mistakes of the past, as well as some of the successes that we've had. And then when we talk about failures as well as successes,
and that's the philosophy that can mean better outcomes for everybody. Sick patients, overworked and burned out doctors,
and the healthcare leaders who are trying to balance it all.
You know, the one thing I'd say is that, you know, you got to tie it back to your purpose. And I mentioned earlier, focusing in on the why. And, you know, for me personally, and this resonates with the organization that I'm with here at Atrium Health, it is about serving.
So with that North Star as your guide, you can't really go wrong. Hey, so all of you awesome Databook listeners and Inside Digital Health readers, we just want to let you know that on this episode of Databook, we had a new writer and producer. His name is Seth Augenstein, and he is senior editor of Digital Health. He's a great guy with a lot of exciting things to offer to the space. Shoot him a follow on Twitter.
And while you're at it, be sure to rate, subscribe, and review Databook, your favorite podcast, I'm sure. And drop us a line on Twitter, hit us up on Facebook, and be sure to visit us on LinkedIn too.
I'm Jack Murtha.
And I'm Tom Castles.
And this is Databook.